Brothers and sisters in Christ, stay rooted in Jesus Christ, for if you do, no person on earth or devil in hell will keep you from your destiny. Amen? Good afternoon, everyone. I am Deacon Bob, and on behalf of our pastor and our celebrant tonight, Father Mario, we welcome you to St. Cyril. We are very happy you have joined us here in worship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To anyone visiting with us here this evening, please know that you are welcome and that our hearts and our doors will always be open for you. You know, for the past few years, our culture has finally gotten around to recognizing the problem of bullies and the harm that they cause. But we all know that bullies have been around forever. Perhaps when you were a kid, there was a bully on the playground. Or maybe one that lived up the street from you. Even as we get older, we still run into bullies. Perhaps there's one at work. Or maybe it's the adult bully in the neighborhood you live. A bully in any shape or form is someone who pushes you around. Always seems to show up when and where they want to, and always seems to be at the wrong time. The bully makes you feel uneasy and afraid. They will taunt you with threats of pain, threats of anxiety. They will make you feel like you do not have control anymore as you are forced to wait for the bully to do their thing. Physical death is like a bully. It too shows up when it wants, where it wants. It makes people uneasy and afraid. And at times that bully of death will show up at your door for a visit and taunt you for a while and then go away. Death is content that it always has one last great threat, which is a knowledge that one day death is going to come knocking on the door. And on that one day, death is not going to go away. As our gospel tells us this afternoon, one day death showed up at the doorstep of a man named Lazarus. Death did not just come to taunt Lazarus that day. Death came to claim him that day. Now, through the years, I have heard other preachers talk about this gospel story, and they make all sorts of symbolic connections to this story. They will talk about the message that the two sisters, Mary and Martha, sent to Jesus, how the message expressed concern about Lazarus being sick, but no panic over the situation. The sisters had no panic because they were confident in their knowledge that their friend Jesus would heal their brother. We all should be able to see that. We should all be able to connect to that and understand it. The symbolism is that we too should always be confident in Jesus. I have heard other preachers talk in great detail about Lazarus's death is a symbolic method of the way we are dead to the world. And that too is true. For you can be dead in a relationship. You can be dead spiritually. You can be dead to the suffering of humanity around you. So as you can see, this gospel story, it has many, many wonderful parts. It can be studied and discussed in numerous ways. But I prefer not to focus deeply on symbolism today. Instead, I'm going to focus on one of these simple facts of the story. And that fact is, Lazarus is dead. He's not just unconscious. He's not in a coma. Lazarus is dead. Not moving, not breathing, no heartbeat. 4 days in a tomb, stiff and cold, rigor mortis has set in, type dead. Dead is dead, and he is not coming back. If Lazarus is going to come back to life, somebody else is going to have to bring him back. And that somebody is a carpenter from Nazareth named Jesus. The carpenter from Nazareth is going to confront death head on, face to face, toe to toe. But but he will do it in his own time. Again, the story tells us, word was sent to Jesus that Lazarus, his good friend, was ill. And I am sure everybody figured Jesus would immediately drop whatever he was doing and rush to the side of Lazarus to heal him. But instead, Jesus willfully chooses to stay where he was for two additional days before responding to the call from Lazarus' family. Now, to be clear, Jesus does not do this just to be mean or to show that what is happening does not matter to him. Rather, he is waiting the days so that he can show all the glory of God. And I'll offer this up. That is a great life lesson for all of us. For I am willing to bet that everybody here this afternoon, at one time or another in life, has been irritated at God over his seeming inaction in our lives. I'm willing to bet we've all been agitated because God does not seem to be responding to our prayers, or he is not moving as fast as we think he should be. So the valuable life lessons here is patience. All things in God's time, not ours. God's timing in our lives is always the right time. Amen. Jesus does come in answer, though, to the request of the family. Jesus is now coming to confront the death of his friend. And nothing is going to stop him. And when Jesus does arrive at the scene, there is a whole range of emotions happening. Death has a way of doing to those of us left behind, doesn't it? Death brings out a range of emotions like no other. The grief it brings, the sense of loss, the numbness, the feeling of being out of control at the time it happens, the helplessness you feel when you realize you cannot stop death, but you have to stand there and watch it take your loved one away. I felt like that when my own dad died unexpectedly at the age of 70. Just had a physical. Doctors told him he was in good health. What the doctors in the test couldn't show is that an artery in his neck was about to rupture. He was gone in less than 20 minutes. And I remember the helplessness and the anger. I thought this was so unfair that somehow death had cheated me and my family. And then the grief came, and it came with full force. And at that time, that grief was unrelenting. So when you listen to the gospel story this afternoon, there is a large amount of emotion we can all identify with. Both Mary and Martha are terribly upset at the death of their brother. And they say these things to Jesus. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. There is pain and there is anger and despair in that statement by the sisters. Both expected Jesus, their good friend, to get there before Lazarus died. Their thought was Jesus would heal the sickness. Death would be turned away. They would not have to face it. Even the others who came to mourn with Mary and Martha, they have the same thoughts. Listen again to what they say. Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died? All are wondering, where were you, Jesus? Where were you? And Jesus endures this questioning of his actions of Mary and Martha along with the others. He is doing things according to his will because he is going to demonstrate the glory of God in his time. And that too is another great life lesson for all of us. Many times we all want God to solve our problems and our issues. And often we are also generous and kind enough that we instruct God directly how to solve our problems. It's as if we think God is some sort of vending machine. Tell him your problem. Pay him with a prayer. then expect a solution you want to pop out somewhere. It just doesn't work that way. Let God solve our problems and our issues and direct the answers to us according to His will, not ours. Our wills and our desires at times are wrong. But the will of God for us in our lives is never wrong. Amen? So according to His own time now, and according to His own will, Jesus is ready to confront death, an upset family, mourners, a closed up tomb, the bad stench of a dead, decaying body are not going to stop Him. You know, back then, they did nothing to preserve a dead body except to anoint it with some oils and wrap it tightly with cloth. So what a smell that must have been. A dead body left in a tight, enclosed tomb for 4 days. You know, death has a smell to it anyway. It takes over what it's near. Death had taken over Lazarus. It had taken over the air inside. Death was completely at home in the dark, stench-filled tomb. But none of that mattered to Jesus. He gives the command, take away the stone. Because you know what? A mere stone is not going to stop the carpenter from Nazareth either. The stone is rolled away as He commanded. Jesus starts the confrontation with death, and He cries out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Now inside that tomb, what do you think those words sounded like? I mean, when death heard those words, Lazarus, come out, what did death really hear? Did it hear a grief-filled human begging that it goes away? Did it hear a sad human voice suggesting that it goes away? Did death hear a nervous human voice asking pretty please for consideration to let go of Lazarus? It did not. Not even close. Death heard none of these. What death heard was a command. And with those three spoken words, death knew immediately it was not a human voice speaking that command. For what death heard was the voice of the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. What death heard was the wrath of God Himself in three words, commanding him to leave and to leave right now. Death did not dare to argue or disagree. Death did not have to be told twice to get out. At the command of Jesus, death got up and left Lazarus immediately. The confrontation between Jesus and death ended very quickly. Lazarus came back to life. Lazarus came out of the tomb. Amen. Never invite Jesus to a funeral. He interrupts everyone he goes to. Think about the Bible, the stories. Jairus' daughter dies. Jesus brings her back. Jesus is traveling to a city called Nain when he encounters a funeral procession for a man. A man who was the only son of a widowed woman. A woman now left in the world with nobody. Jesus brings that man back to life and gives that mother her son back. And of course, in today's gospel, Jesus again stands toe-to-toe, eyeball-to-eyeball with death, and commands it to leave. And it does just that. All these events are previews. All of these are hints of what is to come. They are an indication that none of us will ever have to face the bully alone, an indication that none of us will ever have to face death by ourselves. These events are signaling the power Jesus has over death. But a preview is just a preview, and a hint is just a hint. There is more to the story of Jesus than just bringing people back from death to a physical, earthly life. There is so much more to the story. And in just 2 weeks, we will hear the story of Jesus confronting death again. But this time, it will be his own. All of heaven will go silent, and they will watch this battle between Jesus and death, because the fate of humanity will be determined by the result of this confrontation. It starts next Sunday, what we call Palm Sunday, where Jesus makes his triumphant return back into Jerusalem. The story then continues Thursday night as Jesus and his followers gather for the Passover meal. And included with those followers at that Passover meal is a man who will betray him. And then on Friday, the battle between Jesus and death begins, and that confrontation is at full force, starting on a bloody cross. And how this ultimate confrontation ends has great meaning, because the outcome of this confrontation between Jesus and death is life-changing for all of us and all of humanity. I ask you, join us next Sunday for Palm Sunday. Come back on Holy Thursday. Come back on Good Friday. And come back on the Easter Vigil. Listen to the story. Listen closely to this confrontation and to its outcome. Because for all of us, we are personally involved in this story. Thank you, St. Cyril. May God bless each and every one of you.